drinking town with a football problem. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining the Piffles Podcast. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Amy.
And we got a big show to get to. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
I had several of
three
them.
Three of them.
Yeah, considering we just came back from
the most
third.
Recent oh. one, like an hour ago.
So if we sound sleepy, it's because we just had another Thanksgiving supper.
It's because Amy turkey. Decided to spur of the moment cook Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, it happens, I guess. People sporadically
people
cook Thanksgiving supper.
I guess.
Without planning it.
And invite their friends over.
Yeah.
And me too.
Well, you were just standing out there so quietly, and you're like a lost puppy. It was cute. Thanks for joining us. Give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
I'm at Safamod.
And I am at CFL Hottiebowl.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram. Just search PifflesPod. And as always, the show is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. We're talking about another win today. That's always fun.
I can really get used to this. I'd like it to continue, please.
So the Riders beat the Argos 27-24 last week in a game which, well, right off the start of the game, they didn't really deserve to be in, but that's a good thing the games are 60 minutes and not 20 minutes.
We're just going to repeat last week.
Yeah, we'll just replay that and say the team didn't deserve to win until Brandon Bridge came in and then they won. So Riders moving the record to 8-6. Eight wins, that's key because that's the total that they had the last 2 years. So
sounds a lot like improvement
to me.
Eight
wins in the last 2 years?
We were 3-15 and then 5-13.
Huh.
So right now we're 8-6 and two games above 500 for the first time since 2014.
We did the thing.
When they finished 10-8. Yeah. So yeah. So things are looking up. It's great. We're going to talk about the Riders game coming up against the Ottawa. Amy, here it comes. Ready?
Red Wax!
On Friday the 13th, that's going to be a spooky game. Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun this upcoming Friday night. Big game for both teams. We'll talk about that. We'll have another entrant into the Hottie Bowl. I don't know if anybody has a rant this week. We'll play the music. We'll see if anybody talks, but we'll see what happens. Our Coney Island Poutine Cafe, Piffles player profile, and more. So that game against the Argos. I didn't get to sit down and focus on it. I had to work, so I was kind of catching it here and there. But for the, third straight game Kevin Glenn's played, he did absolutely nothing.
It's starting to become a bit of a repetition ever since he hurt his hand. For some reason, he can't seem to move the ball. His accuracy is gone. The team isn't making plays. And when you've got a team that just doesn't run the ball, you've got a guy who's just not... If he's not accurate and he's not mobile, that doesn't usually spill positivity, and we saw that in the first half of this game.
And we talked last week that his leash has got to be shorter, and sure enough it was. They didn't wait till halftime to make a change. They didn't wait till the end of the third quarter to make a change. It was in the middle of the second quarter. Riders were down
17-3,
and offense was looking absolutely terrible again. The defense, they were getting starting to get shredded in the middle by Ricky Ray because we were playing zone. And then Brandon Bridge came in. First drive, he didn't do anything, but the second drive, we ended up scoring. Got a touchdown before the end of the half, changed momentum of that game, and we just carried the game the rest of the way. So even though after the game, Chris Jones came out and said, there's no quarterback controversy, Kevin Glenn is our number one, he's the starter, there's a quarterback controversy here in Saskatchewan now.
There has to be.
Isn't there always?
Yeah, but this one's actually legit this time.
This isn't just the Rider fans loving their backup quarterback. This is because lately the backup quarterback has been outperforming
the starter.
The starter by a large margin.
Well, look at Kevin Glenn's last few games played. The second half in the Badger Bowl, we got destroyed in that second half. So basically nothing there. He didn't play the Hamilton game. He got zero in that Calgary game. His defense got him a safety and that was it. The Ottawa game, he got nothing until Christian Jones returned to punt and then ended up getting a couple drives at the end of the game that ended up winning us the game. And then this game here. Again, nothing. No points. Well, the 3 points off the beauty field position we ended up getting in the first quarter. But should have been a hell of a lot more than that.
Well, we opened the opening kickoff. We take back to their 51-yard line and come out with nothing. Unfortunately, that kind of explained Kevin Glenn's day pretty much in a nutshell.
And we shouldn't be so hard on him, I guess, because it is a lot of it's on the O-line as well. They're not giving him enough time, but they're giving Brandon Bridge enough time. And it's not because of the mobility difference there. They're actually giving him a little bit more time. I'm not sure what the issue is there. Quick release from Kevin Glenn. We should be using that. And it seems like they're not trying to use that. They're trying to take advantage of the deep ball. And now, that's not his forte.
They've gone away from what was working before, those 5, 6, 7 yard slants and the short passes and the hitches. And we haven't been doing that enough lately. And again, if you've got no run game and all you're doing is the long passes, those take time to develop. And if the defense can just pin their ears back, that's what they're going to do. At least with Brandon Bridge in there, they have to respect his mobility to some extent, so they can't just go full-fledged. Adam, maybe that's the difference? I don't know.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens this upcoming week, because you got to think, if Kevin Glenn's starting, that leash is going to be even shorter. So if he doesn't get something going in that first quarter and the fans start turning, they're going to be yelling for Bridge.
And deservedly so, unfortunately. And like you said, we shouldn't be too hard on Glenn. He is the reason we are in a playoff spot right now. He had a hell of a first half of the year. But if he doesn't perform right out of the gate, I'd say within the first quarter or less. I mean, this isn't the same team that we played last week in Ottawa. They've got Trevor Harris back. We can't afford to fall behind. That leash has to be very, very short.
And I said it on my Tuesday takes. I've been on board with Kevin Glenn being the starter and saying he's our starter. We have these guys for the future, but I think the future is now. We're seeing Brandon Bridge really come into his own here, and he's got a 9-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Like, the guy's not turning the ball over. He scores damn near every time he gets the ball. Something's got to give here. He's got to be our starter.
Well, and at the start of the year, we were full on board the Kevin Glenn train, because we weren't looking to develop right out of the gate. We wanted to give Bridge or Adams or whoever was behind Glenn or Vince Young, you know, time to get prepared. But we've seen, and we need to know over the next 3 games plus or 4 games plus playoffs, if Brandon Bridge is a guy that we want to be throwing a contract at come the offseason.
And that's a good point, because we don't have anybody else other than Vernon Adams Jr. under contract for quarterbacks next year. So that's another reason why you have to play Bridge. Is he going to be worth making a really good offer to?
Because if you go off his stats so far, somebody's going to pay him a lot of money.
Montreal?
That would be kind of funny. But you're right. Like, somebody's going to be throwing the money at him. I'd rather it be us if we know
what we're going to get.
That what we've seen so far is the Bridge we will get, or if this is just, you know, guy coming in during a lot of mop up time, right?
Well, he's not coming in mop up time anymore. Yeah. He's being asked to provide that spark and come in and rejuvenate the team, and that's exactly what he's doing. Steve, you mentioned the run game, lack of run game. That brings me to the next point I have written down in front of me. Trent Richardson, how is that for a debut?
Oh my God. I wish I would have been playing another version of the Rod Black drinking game, because we heard Trent Richardson's name far more often than he was actually on the field. He had, what, 5 carries, 20 yards? I mean, he was outrun by LaFrance, who had 6 for 38. He did fine. He pushed for those extra yards in the short yardage game. Looks like he'd be a great short yardage back, like the old Chris Zarka fullback type position. But outside of that, nothing he did in his 5 limited carries gave me any hope for, you know, anything more than what we expected. I mean, he even stuck to his NFL career average of 3.3 yards.
I still think it's a waste of a signing. It's a waste of him being here. I'd rather go with a young guy straight out of college that really has something to prove, not just a guy who thinks he has something to prove. Richardson has nothing left to prove. Everybody knows he doesn't have it anymore. He has one okay first year in the NFL, and after that, he lost it. And that's fine. That happens all the time to players. But it's a waste of a signing. Get a young guy here who's actually hungry, who, if he's going to get an NFL shot, it's because he comes in here and rips it up. Not for a guy trying to get back there just to prove that, hey, I'm still relevant. Well, no, you're not.
You know, we're talking about American running backs, and, you know, this show is going to come out at or around the CFL trade deadline. What do you think the odds are Tyrell Sutton makes his way over here?
I don't think Montreal really makes any moves.
You don't? Really?
No.
They almost have to at this point. I mean, some of those players...
You would think so. I don't... the CFL trade deadline is kind of a joke anyway. It's
not quite to the extent of, you know, the NHL or NBA or anywhere, obviously.
The NBA's actually the MLB one. MLB has like six trade deadlines. It's weird. I don't see Montreal. We can talk about that a little bit later on. Anyone else stand out to you in that game? Sorry, before we get to that, Trent Richardson, I just want to finish up on him. That's just, there's no point to it. You look at the end of the game, Keenan LaFrance was the one that was out there. They went with the experience, something that they knew that they had in Keenan LaFrance, and he had a couple great runs at the end of the game, sealed the game, got us down in the field goal range, and won the game. That's got to be our guy while Cam Marshall's out. Helps with the ratio.
Keeps Caleb Hawley on the field.
And not only that, give that roster spot of an American player to a defensive back.
Have another one. Would come
because we saw Daron Carter again after Casey Rogers got hurt go out and play corner. And yes, it wasn't necessarily his guy. He got beat for, it was Ed Gainey's guy, and we'll put that in quotes, SJ Green, who scored a touchdown. But Daron Carter had deep contain. But at the same time, why are you putting in a receiver there who doesn't obviously know the schemes of the defense to play zone? If you're going to have him play man, sure, just run with the guy. Anybody can play man defense. Zone, that's a little bit different. You got to know not only your assignment, you got to know the person next to you and the guy behind you.
Yeah, as entertaining as it is to see Daron Carter coming in on defense and becoming, as Rod Black so lovingly called him, Mr. Three-Way.
Awkward.
Right.
Is that for real?
Yeah, he called him Mr. Two-Way first, and then he said, no, he's returned punts too, he's Mr. Three-Way.
And full props to Carter. He commented on it on Twitter afterwards and said that's what he's going to start calling himself now. But anyway, as entertaining as it is to see him out there and having that smile and having a good time, that was a key moment of the game and why we're throwing a wide receiver out there when we have Eli Buka.
A cornerback.
Who's Canadian.
It's one of those coaching decisions that just, why? Like, you're overthinking it. You're letting him play the position because he says that he can.
And it's not like Buka didn't see the field.
Yeah, he was on.
He was out there, so why, I mean...
Slide him over, put another linebacker in there instead.
Yep. It seems like it'd be pretty simple, but...
Well, looking at our head coach and GM, is anything really simple with him?
No, they like to go complicated. There's no arguing that. I will say one thing that stood out. It wasn't a particular player. It was our receiving core as a whole. And it wasn't because anybody was playing great, although, you know, friend of the show last week's Piffles Player Profile, Caleb Hawley, goes off.
And he said he wanted to be faster, too. Right, he looked pretty fast on his touchdown.
We should just start to expect this. They're going to do it. So, you know, we'll see who's going to have a great game this weekend. But the thing that I liked the most was that we spread the ball. We had Caleb Hawley, 86 yards, Bakari Grant, 85, Roosevelt, 77. Carter 71.
Those are our four receivers. Those are the four main players in our offense.
And they're, you know, two catches, 7, 8, 5. It wasn't like he was looking at one guy all the time. Between the, only what, 28 yards of those was from Kevin Glenn? Was it 28? Something like that.
Yeah.
Right. So this is Brandon Bridge spreading the ball around as a young kid. It just made me feel a little brighter about the future if he is our future.
And that touch on the ball to Namon Roosevelt for the touchdown at the end of the first half, perfect. Couldn't ask for a better throw.
And he should have more yards than he does because there was a lot of nice touch balls that were dropped.
I'm over here not paying attention at all. A lot of nice touch balls.
Now we're dropped.
Make sure you tweet that
there,
out.
There were some right. passes that were not complete.
There we go. Yeah.
There it could have been a lot more. And Bridge has got to be our guy. He's got to be our guy. Anyway.
And you know what? If Glenn does start on Friday, I hope he comes out and throws 350 yards, 3 touchdowns, has a hell of a game. I don't care who's behind center when the when the whistle goes, I will cheer for them, but I am definitely hoping that that this is all just a decoy and Brandon Bridges starting on Friday.
Well, practice was closed on Tuesday. Well, I guess we'll see on Wednesday who's really taking all the reps, and we'll see what happens from there. Now, other guys that are going to be showing up in practice, Ryder signing a bunch of players. The practice roster expanded to 15 players this past week. So the Riders signed to the practice roster defensive back Taylor Mays. And there's a lot of hype on him because he was a former second-round NFL pick and just couldn't get it together in the NFL. But second-round pick, you come with some pedigree. So defensive back there, maybe he's maybe that extra import defensive back we've been talking about just now to have in. So he could potentially be that guy.
It's not quite the pedigree of a third overall running back. But
well, not many people are.
I like it. I never saw his hit from the Rose Bowl in 09 until earlier today, or at least hadn't in quite a number of years. He packs a bit of a punch over the middle if he gets the chance, although the hit that he laid in that game would have been a hefty penalty nowadays, but I like it.
And the Riders also signing defensive lineman Charles Walker. That's another big body. So they're trying to find a Nick James replacement. They're trying to find that big guy in the middle. And so far, I mean, none of it's worked out. TJ Barnes, well, he just got cut, so he didn't work out. But none of the other guys have seemed to work out. So we'll see what Charles Walker has. I wouldn't be surprised if he's activated for this game. So we'll probably see him sooner rather than later. Quarterback David Watford. Wide receiver Josh Stanford, who's here and then gone, and then here, then gone, here, then gone. So he's always just kind of kicking around. So he's back. Another receiver, Jawan Story, and another defensive back, Melvin White. And also released, like I mentioned, TJ Barnes and Canadian offensive lineman Ryan White, who is actually, we were even thinking preseason that he might be one of our starters on the O-line, or, you know, our sixth O-lineman. And that was before Peter Diakowski got traded here, but he didn't get into a game, and Dariush Bladek has outplayed all the other O-linemen to get that spot at the sixth O-lineman, so.
Not really much to say about any of those moves, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back, Josh Stanford.
Yeah. These are more moves for next year than anything. It's just the practice roster expanding. See what these guys have. If they hang around, great. When the practice roster goes down again, then you just cut them and see you later. So moves for next year. See who's good. See who's worth bringing back for next year.
At least we have another quarterback under contract now.
Yeah, but practice roster, everyone gets released at the end of the season, so we still only have Vernon Adams for next year, right?
Well, and Marquise Williams, he's on our roster. He's been on our
yes, he's 46. Been a healthy scratch. I wouldn't be surprised if he's eventually put back into the practice roster at the end of the year, but
who knows?
Yeah, whatever. Well, let's move to talking about the Red Blacks game, because this is a huge game for both teams. The Riders tied with Edmonton for third, need that win to stay in third, and still have an outside shot at second place. Winnipeg losing to Hamilton. Open up the door a little bit here. Matt Nichols getting hurt. Who knows how long he's going to be out with his little finger injury. Because we've seen with Kevin Glenn, bad finger. That could lead to some disastrous results. And Winnipeg loses him. That's a big, big loss for him.
Who is their backup?
Oh, tall, lanky kid. I'm totally blanking, but yeah, he played the rest of the game last week. Ottawa, their big comeback win against BC. They were down 25-6 and then ended up winning that game 30-25. So almost blew it at the end with a Hail Mary pass that was almost caught by Brian Burnham.
Should have been caught.
He ripped it away from a defender, and then it just went, you know, a couple inches too low. So that was a hell of a game. That turned out to be a really good game. But Trevor Harris is back. He was looking good. Can this Rider defense, I mean, they're not playing Ryan Lindley this week. They're playing Trevor Harris. How big of a difference is that, and how much will that affect the game?
I'm a little terrified, given how we usually play at home. I'm still fairly confident going into this game, not going to lie. I mean, we just handled Ricky Ray and the Argos with James Wilder Jr., I think we can handle Trevor Harris. I hope.
It'll be interesting. Because if he gets time, we've seen that their receivers get open. Oh. I don't know how Ellingson gets so open all the time. He's the league's leading receiver, but he gets open all the time. I mean, that's why he's the league's leading receiver.
His hair must have special powers.
Or everybody's scared of it because nobody wants to cover him. Everybody just leaves him alone.
Everyone's afraid they'll give him a bruise and he won't be as pretty.
Maybe.
It's got to be it.
I mean, you name him to the Hottie Wall, so everyone's like, whoa, hey, we can't hurt that face.
It's got to be it.
Got to be.
Can't think of any other reason. Like, he's good at sports.
No.
It's all about the hair and the pretty face.
He gets paid for doing the thing for a reason.
Nah, that's not important.
It's the magic hair.
Yeah. Will the Riders contain William Powell?
Nothing lately that they've done has shown me that we'll contain him. Well, no, we'll contain him outside the 20s.
So the same way that we contained Wilder last week, where he got 79 yards rushing and 72 receiving or whatever he got.
Yeah, and the same way that we more or less contained Powell.
Yeah.
2 weeks
ago. 200 yards.
Right? He had 200 yards, but how many touchdowns? One?
Yeah. This defense looks like a Richie Hall defense. Bend but don't break. And
as long as it's working, it works. The problem is it gives our offense absolutely no consistency because if they go 2-0, they're off the field for another 7 minutes of game time.
Yeah.
While the opposing offense marches down the field, right?
And our defense gets tired and it shows.
No.
The middle gets left wide open. They refuse to cover the middle, which is weird considering we deploy four linebackers most of the time.
I'll harp on it
because it still bugs me. Yeah, they're winning games, but it's like, guys, it's very clear what you're going to do. You're going to leave the middle wide open. You give a good quarterback like Ricky Ray, Trevor Harris time, they're going to shred you in the middle. And eventually, you're going to stop holding these teams. They're going to score touchdowns. And that's what worries me, getting into the final stretch of the season and getting into the playoffs right away.
My guess in this game, William Powell rushes for another 130. Are we talking first half or full game? I'll go 135 for the whole game. One touchdown, Riders win.
That's still way too many yards. Telling you, that's going to kill us in the playoffs. Everyone's saying that the defense is playing great, and kudos to the secondary because they're really keeping this team in it. And they're the reason why the Riders have a chance on offense to win every game. I don't know how long that's going to last. I've seen it happen way too many times where it's bend but don't break, bend but don't break, and then you get absolutely smashed.
My guess is it'll last until November the 12th. Come playoff time, that kind of stuff doesn't last.
Well, that's fine because we'll get into a big lead at home against the Bombers. Hey, don't forget to check out PifflesPodcast.com. Lots of great stuff going up on there. My Tuesday takes, power rankings from Steve coming out, Greg's pick six, NFL picks. He absolutely sucked this past week, but hey, that's all right. Game previews, game recaps, all that good stuff going on there. So check it out, PifflesPodcast.com.
Stay tuned as we have the Hottie Bowl, this week's Coney Island Poutine Cafe, Piffles Player Profile, and more coming up.
Piffles Podcast is supported in part by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. A longtime volunteer with your Regina Thunder, Bryn is a proud supporter of local football. Check out BrynWerrett.com, that's BrynWerrett.com, while you enjoy the rest of this episode of the Piffles Podcast. Time now for this week's Hottie Bowl. I like you a lot, lot. All we want is hot, hot. My favorite part.
Boys.
What do we got this week?
This week, our Hottie Bowl member was born March 30th, 1990. So he's older than 22.
That's good news.
In Livonia, Michigan, he attended college at Michigan State. He went undrafted in the 2013 NFL draft, I assume. Spent a few years in Montreal from 2013 to 2016. Played in Ottawa 2016. He was named an Eastern All-Star and won the Grey Cup there. In 2017, spent a little time in the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was released in August of this year. And he has since signed back in the CFL with the Toronto Argonauts. That means he's played the last three games. This year he is 5 feet 11 inches, 185 pounds. He's a defensive back with the Toronto Argonauts. Number 12, Mitchell White.
That's your first defensive back this year, isn't it?
It's my first player from Toronto.
knocking a couple off the bucket list that you have there.
I guess so. And you can follow him on Twitter at MP32White. He's cute.
I will take your word for that.
Oh, I can show you a picture. I have it ready this time.
Oh. Yeah, okay. You know what? He is kind of cute.
Yep.
He's got nice little arms.
Yep. It's like I know how to do my job or something.
Good looking guy. Well,
thanks, Toronto Argonauts, for posting a picture that I'm sure Johanny took.
Mitch White, welcome to the Hottie Bowl.
Yep. Thanks for being hot.
I'm sure he's super proud. I would be. I mean, I am. We were on the Hottie Bowl, right? So I'm
pretty it doesn't count if I don't pick you.
It's a very tight fraternity of good-looking guys.
I'm putting that on my resume.
2017 Hottie Bowl. Self-picked Hottie Bowl member?
Nope, just Hottie Bowl member.
Self-inducted?
No, Alex inducted
me. Yeah, I inducted him.
I inducted Alex.
Guys are not invited to this
part of the show anymore.
Of the show anymore.
All right.
That was really the overall plan. Stop giving us power. Nobody to blame but yourself.
I told him not to pick anybody that week. I said, don't do it.
He said, don't do anything stupid. And I didn't.
And you did something stupid.
I didn't do anything stupid.
Proof that you guys need adult supervision.
That's accurate.
Yeah, I can't argue that. Anyway, Mitch White, congratulations on making the Hottie Bowl. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Moving on here, time now for this week's Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile. I really want to know.
Tell me, who are you? So we're joined by Riders defensive end Toby Antigua. Toby, thanks for your time.
No problem, thank you.
So we got Friday the 13th coming up. Do you have any superstitions?
Didn't even know it was Friday the 13th, honestly, but not really. I don't really have superstitions. I haven't really had any bad experiences on Friday the 13th for me to develop any, so I just treat it like a normal day.
So, again, being Friday the 13th, do you have any favorite scary movies, favorite Halloween movie, anything like that?
You know, I'm actually afraid of scary movies, to be honest, but one movie that I did, you know, watch growing up is like Hocus Pocus on Disney Channel. Yeah. That was one of my favorites, but other than that, I don't really mess with scary movies.
Not like Child's Play, nothing.
No,
like that,
no. I saw Jason, Freddy, all those just creep me out, so I just stay away from them.
Okay, now other than that, you actually kind of took the answer for my next question. What else scares you? Does anything else scare you?
No, not really. Besides scary movies, snakes a little bit. Okay. You know, if I see a snake, I might just, you know,
just like take cover, like
you're
gone.
Yeah, I've done that before actually. I'm not afraid to admit it, but snakes, cold weather, I'm scared of. So this Friday will be interesting. But other than that, no, I'm not. I'm pretty cool with everything else.
Cold weather, you do realize you're playing in Saskatchewan, right?
Yeah.
It's going to get a lot worse.
I've heard stories of it, you know.
A little
but,
bit different than Tampa Bay.
Yeah, just a little bit, you know. But, you know, it's just an experience that you'll have to get used to. You know, you're up here to do a job, and, you know, the job comes with different difficult tasks, and getting over the cold will be one of them, so...
Now, if we were to poll the locker room and ask them to describe you in, you know, a word or two, what word would they use?
Probably smart and goofy. don't listen to him. You know, smart, goofy, laid back. You know, I pretty much those three.
What is your favorite life moment to date?
You know, just the journey of coming here. You know, just this whole journey has been really fun for me. It allowed me to see, you know, who I actually was, you know, under adverse times and things like that. So, you know, this whole journey of coming up to Saskatchewan and playing football, you know, after a long tenure out, you know, that's been my most favorite life memory so far.
Did you know anything about Saskatchewan before you came up here?
Absolutely nothing. I knew it was cold. That's about it.
That's pretty much all you need to
know.
Yeah. Is there any particular person or people in your life that give you inspiration?
You know, I try to draw inspiration from just about everybody I meet. You know, everybody has their own story. Everybody has, you know, their own truths that they can bestow upon you. So, you know, regardless of who it is, I always try to take, you know, something from them, whether that be little or small, you know, and just try to apply it to my daily life. So, I mean, if I were to, you know, name one particular person, I'd have to name a lot of people, you know, but there have been a lot of people that have been crucial to my development and my understanding of, you know, how life operates and, you know, what you're supposed to do in life and the people that you want to affect in life.
So we've met you. I guess we made the list, right?
Of course. Excellent. Of course. With these smiles, you know, you're making me smile.
Now, if you could sit down with one person, dead or alive, for an hour, who would it be and what would you talk about?
Wow. Dead or alive. Shoot. Jesus? Probably Jesus, you know. Just, I'm a man of faith, so, you know, talking to Jesus, well, would be pretty high on my priority list. And, you know, just talk about, you know, the way I'm supposed to live, what, you know, how to love people for who they are, and, you know, things of that nature.
So if you could pick any place to go on a dream vacation, where would you go?
One of the islands. Anywhere but here. Probably Jamaica, Aruba, Antigua.
I was going to say, you share the name.
Yeah, I do. Right? You know, I'm going to make it down there.
You've never been there?
Not yet. I'm going to make it down there one of these days.
The island of 365 beaches. One beach for every day of the year.
Yeah.
So you got to take a full year.
Yep, and visit each one. You know, but yeah, one of those island places, I want to go to, what's that place in Mexico? Cancun. I would like to go to Cancun. You know, just all those tropical areas. I really want to go to the Amazon rainforest, kind of see where that, you know, how that is. I've been to Nigeria before. Off season, I'm going to South Korea, so I'll figure how that, you know, that area is. I've heard it's very scenic. So, I mean, we'll see. You know, there's a lot of places I want to go.
Spain.
That's just like France, Spain.
Throw a dart on the globe. Yeah, and, right?
And I'll just go Dubai. My mom's been to Dubai. She said it's lovely. So Dubai would be another one on my list.
Hey, who's your roommate on the road? And what's like the worst quality that just annoys the crap out of you?
My roommate is Samuel Iguavin. We call him Slug. Oh, my goodness. He does not know how to turn off his alarm. So he'll set his alarm for 7 o'clock. Although we have nothing to do until 9 a.m., and he will not shut it off. He will hit snooze every time, and then 10 minutes later, it'll go off. Another 10 minutes later, he'll go off, and it's the most annoying song, too. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, I tell him to turn it off, but he just doesn't listen. So, I mean, that's the most annoying thing he does.
Now, you guys just came back from a couple weeks out in Ontario. Obviously, it was a business trip. But are there any particular moments from that trip out to Ontario that kind of stand out?
I went shopping. You know, I did a lot of shopping. You know, I spent a lot of money on, you know, clothes and shoes, probably more than I should. But, you know, while you're out there, you got to, you know. So, you know, that's and the food was great. Food is delicious. You know, we ate at a couple different spots. Jamaican food, I love it.
Yeah.
You know, my sister-in-law is Jamaican. So anytime I could get a little taste of home, I would love to. So, I mean, that's just food and shopping. That's two biggest things I really enjoy other than winning. Those games out in Ontario.
Hey, now, how hard was the transition of going from a receiver in college to now playing defensive end?
Pretty difficult. Not going to lie. You know, it's just different. You know, but, you know, if as long as you're surrounded by great teammates who help you understand and help, you know, bring you along, you know, anything is possible. You know, but being on offense, it kind of helps me, too, you know, playing defense. I understand, you know, what offenses try to do, what their schemes are, you know, just basically everything the offense is trying to do, I already know. So I kind of can defend against it.
You know better. Now in practice, we saw you with a pick six. Do you have a celebration planned if you ever hit the end zone?
I do. You know,
you're gonna show up the receivers, aren't you?
Of course. Of course. You know, I played receiver. So, you know, I get, you don't understand how jealous I am that every time they get to get in the end zone, they do all their little fancy celebrations, and I'm just stuck on the sideline just watching them. I get really jealous. You know, so if I ever get the opportunity to be in the end zone, I will put on a show. I will definitely put on a show.
All right, and final one for you. It's the most important question that we ask, and we ask all the players, cats or dogs, and why?
Dogs. Cats creep me out. So add another one to the list of scary things, because cats are just weird. I don't like cats. Dogs, you know, big cats. Like, I actually want a pet. Like, I want a jaguar as a pet. I know it's kind of exotic, but that'd be like a cool pet to have. Not really a pet, but yeah.
You trained it as a pet, right?
Yeah. You could, you know, but definitely dogs. Unless we're talking big cats, but dogs. Little cats creep me out. They're just weird. So,
right. Toby, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And of course, any player you want to hear from the Riders, let us know. We'll see what we can do. We make no promises, but we will absolutely try and get who you guys want to hear on the show. And any questions that you have, let us know. We'll ask them.
Can we talk to John Rush and Taylor Loeffler at the same time?
Well, they're roommates, so I don't see why that would be such a such a hard thing to get
it's
done.
My request.
Okay. Well, if we play Winnipeg in the first round of the playoffs, which we will.
Maybe we can just talk about dogs the whole time.
Maybe. Get him off his game, thinking about dogs all the time, and then we'll just absolutely
And then I'll sneak him. In and tell him that, like, the dogs that he boops don't really love him.
Wow. He'd break his heart.
I feel like oh, your mom doesn't really love you, but I feel like
was
he
that
would
earlier
be
in the
more
season?
Heartbroken.
Oh, Simone Lawrence. Yeah, that was his.
I feel like he'd be more heartbroken if you said, hey, that dog over there thinks you're a dick. I know I would be heartbroken.
Yeah, you know, that dog's rating you 0 out of 10. No scratches.
No scratches for you.
All right, well, we'll see what we can do for the first week of the playoffs for you, Amy. We'll see what we can
change right.
that for you. Well, moving on.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
So.
Speaking of dogs.
Uh-oh.
I got a rant tonight. When dogs invite themselves over to your house for Thanksgiving dinner and then they pee on your couch.
That's kind of rude of him.
Thor, you're lucky you're cute. Because you're kind of a jerk.
Yeah, just sitting there and enjoying Thanksgiving supper.
Version 3.0.
Yeah, the third one, because we had one on Sunday evening and then one on Monday afternoon. And then Tuesday night here, when just before we hit the recording studio.
Mm-hmm.
And Thor just decided to lift his leg up by the couch and have a little
to be
pee.
Fair, there's been a lot of dogs in our house, and he still has his balls, and he thinks he should mark his territory.
Yeah, so I refuse to take blame for
cute.
That, though. Yeah, I love Thor. He's great. Except for that. Thor, that was rude.
Yep. That's all I got.
I got nothing to rant about. We're winning. I got to eat free Thanksgiving dinner. It was great.
I'm going to rant about the people that love eggnog. Eggnog is gross.
Yep.
Eggnog is freaking delicious.
No.
Stupid.
You
it's
shut
gross.
Your mouth.
No.
It's gross.
It is glorious.
How can you drink anything that's called nog?
Easily, with my mouth.
Okay, not physically, how could you? Why would you want to? It's not good.
Because it's delicious.
No.
Throw in a little rum. A
no.
little
That's
nutmeg.
What alcoholics do. They throw a little bit of rum in there. No, just drink the rum. If you want rum, just drink rum.
I don't drink rum straight.
Why not?
Pussy.
Pretty much.
Yeah, Steve, man up. It'll put hair on your chest.
Whoops, that's what I've been doing wrong all these years.
No, eggnog, not allowed.
Eggnog is delicious.
Oh. Eggnog is gross.
We should probably have this
Two
discussion
against
later.
One.
Yeah.
We win.
No, that's unfair.
Too bad.
I take Greg's vote.
He doesn't get a vote. He's not here.
So I guess we're not showing up. Okay, well, what's your thoughts on cranberries? It's still Thanksgiving season, I guess. So, I mean, I hate cranberries. We went through this last year, actually. Cranberries suck.
You know what? I don't like cranberries, but I like craisins.
I don't hate those.
Here's the thing about cranberries, though. Like, I make my own cranberry sauce. Because my brother is a princess and he complains that I've ruined Christmas or Thanksgiving, whatever this season is, if I don't make homemade cranberry sauce. And I mean, it tastes good, but why would you put jam on meat? I don't get it. That's like putting strawberry jam on meat.
You know what belongs on turkey?
Gravy.
More turkey.
Gravy and belongs gravy. On turkey.
And lots
I'm not a gravy guy, unless it's on poutine.
Gravy is... See, everybody says that bacon makes everything better. Gravy makes everything better.
So you just eat straight mashed potatoes, no gravy on them?
Yeah, salt, pepper, butter.
I mean, those are good toppings for mashed potatoes, but gravy. You have to dip the spoon into the mashed potatoes and make a little bowl.
Make a little
And then
volcano.
dump your gravy in the mashed potato bowl.
Yeah, no, just never been a gravy guy. I don't know why. And the funny thing is, I'll have gravy and I won't mind it. It's not like I don't like it. It's just never something I put on my food. I don't know why.
What do you put it on?
I don't put it on poutine.
That's food.
That's the only thing I eat gravy with. That's it. That is the only place that gravy belongs on my plate.
Well, I guess more for me than I...
Right? You take the gravy, I'll take the eggnog. Everybody wins.
Except there'll never be eggnog in my place.
Nope.
And there'll never be gravy in mine.
I'm sure you've had gravy in your house.
Well, yeah, but not... that I'm eating.
There will never be eggnog in my house.
Next time I'm near your house, I'm bringing eggnog.
I will punch you.
Just one of those little, like, 250 milliliter things that I'll sit there sipping from it.
Not in my house, you won't.
Oh, we will see.
There you go. You're apparently not invited over anymore.
You're going to get a punch if you try and bring that in my house.
Meanwhile, a dog pees on your couch and it's, oh, I still love you.
Well, yeah, because he's cute.
Well, yeah, he's cute.
This has been my problem all along. But you know what? Is Thor on the hottie bowl? No.
Actually, he is.
Oh, if there was a doggo bowl?
I posted a picture of him.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah, she did. That's right. Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Hashtag new profile pic.
That's what she replaced us with. Yeah. Was a picture of Thor.
Yep.
Smart decision.
Yep.
Should also say, happy Thanksgiving to everybody that's out there listening. Hope the long weekend was good for you. I hope you're still, you know, working out those extra pounds you ate from all the turkey and
hashtag
ham
Grey
and
Cup
everything.
Fit up.
Yeah. Oh, Grey Cup fat up this past week. Oh, man.
Yeah. Grey Cup fit up. I spent 4 hours in the kitchen today.
There you go.
Y'all are welcome.
I spent an hour thinking about working off the food. Does that count?
yeah. No.
I think so.
It was running in my mind.
Ask Brody.
She'd say no.
Well, it's probably the right answer.
This sucks.
Yeah. Hope your Thanksgiving was good. I know ours was nice. It was good to have some time off. So hope everybody out there got to spend some time with family and friends. And if not, then I just hope you were happy, you know, if you were just alone or with one other person. Hopefully it was good, no matter what you did.
Yep.
Yep.
Cosine, is that what I'm supposed to say?
Thirded.
Sure. Motion carried. Happy Thanksgiving. Finally, we have our Piffles Pick'em to get to. Week 17 edition. Getting down to the final 4 weeks, and the Riders have three of their final four games at home, and that can make the big difference in this playoff positioning, fighting with, well, two teams now, Edmonton and Winnipeg.
I hope the Riders have as much luck coming from behind as I did in the CFL Pick'em, surpassing both of you.
Yeah, Steve, you took the lead in the Piffles Pick'em out of us anyway, so you're still... What are you up to, 13th now or something like that?
I think it was 12th last time I looked. That's still not too bad. Far behind Crop Duster.
Crop Duster X. Still one of the great names, and I'm glad that he's leading right now because that's just a phenomenal name. And
because he's leaving us all behind.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Right.
All right, so this week we have Calgary at Hamilton, Ottawa here in Saskatchewan, BC at Winnipeg, Toronto at Edmonton. Amy, go.
Calgary, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Toronto.
Yep. I'm done. That's my picks.
I'll go off the board. I have Calgary, Saskatchewan, BC, because I don't think Matt Nichols is going to play this game. And I have Edmonton over Toronto. I hope I'm wrong on that. That's what I got. So we'll see who's right.
The good news is I'll take an even farther lead.
Hey, I hope so. That would make me happy.
Well, under our scenario, Amy, the Riders would clinch his playoff spot for the first time since 2014.
Yep, Riders can do that this week with a win. Woo-hoo! And a BC loss. So
go team.
And you know what a win for the Riders, because they'd have to win in that scenario to clinch a berth, and you know what that means. 9 wins, guaranteed .500 finish.
And the first of the four of us homers that predicted 9 wins or better would be correct.
Yep.
I like it.
And then the rest of us homers that had them at 10 wins have 3 chances at 1 win, 2 of them at home, 1 against Montreal, and Lord knows who's going to be on that team by that time, who's actually going to make the trip and start at quarterback. Oh, I can't wait for that week, just because that's going to be such a gong show. But that's in a couple weeks.
Let's get through the other Eastern Division team we got first.
Yep. So that's going to do it for us this week here on the Piffles Podcast. Thank you for spending some time listening to us. Next week's show, we're going to recap that Riders game on Friday the 13th against Ottawa. Maybe some scary, spooky stuff is going to happen because it's Friday the 13th. Who knows what's going to happen?
Ooh.
Maybe there'll be some clowning around. Winky face.
I see what you did there.
We're going to preview the Riders game against the Calgary Stampeders next week. Another Friday night game in Calgary. I'm hoping that the Stamps have first place locked up by then, because then they have nothing to play for, so maybe they'll ease up a little bit on us. See if we can do engaging with the enemy. See if we have another rant. Hottie Bowl entrant, and our Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles player profile. Until then, give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. Follow me at RealAlexD.
Follow me at Safamod.
And I am at CFL Hottie Bowl.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram, search PifflesPod. And as always, take a look at PifflesPodcast.com. Lots of good stuff going on there every single day. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. Thanks for listening.
We're drinking town with a football problem.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.